You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 5. And if we can, in our little exercise of late, we haven't lost Jeremiah, we just have left it for a moment. And in the process, looking at Psalm 23 and verse 4 and 5, we've been thinking about that in the light of our present world conditions. And David walking in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness and death and evil, and it doesn't go away. Now, having said that, and in the light of that, Israel representing a people, a nation, and the problem they had with God as a nation was, chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 29, which you know, 5 and 29, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they should fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. They had no heart. Here's the Ten Commandments. Here's the wonderful exercise at Mount Sinai. And they just didn't connect. They couldn't miss the occasion, God speaking to them directly, but they missed out on what it was about and why God did it. And the main reason that God says, the reason is because they had no heart. That's the problem. Now, sliding over to chapter 6, as you know, in chapter 6, sliding down to verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall beware in thine heart, the heart problem. Thy word, think of someone, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, not my head, my heart. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, we need to understand that. To have a relationship, personal relationship to God, involves the heart, involves your whole being. And you know, going back just a second to see it, God warns them in the future, they had no heart, they needed to love God with all their heart. In the future, they would need to recover. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And sliding over, if I can, in the light, God predicting the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. And in the process, verse 28, and there ye shall serve gods when you get scattered into those countries, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. The conditions, if you seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Your heart, it's a heart problem. Square one, no heart. Head, I can be a teacher and do whatever. I got a head knowledge. I need a heart knowledge. Now, having said that, over to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13, you would recall David. And David is going to be chosen to take over in place of King Saul. And David is God's choice. King Saul was Israel's choice. Now, chapter 13, as it were, verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. A man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Therefore, God's looking for a person, a man, sought him a man after his own heart, God's heart. God's looking for somebody after his heart. He found a man. He found David. Why is David? David, that man. There's all the people. And you know, while you're here this close, go over to chapter 16 and remind yourself in chapter 16. Remember David gone choosing in chapter 16. May I go directly to verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance or the face or the form or in the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Not for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. We see the outward form. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. What was the problem? I'm looking at your heart. I didn't look at your head. I looked at your heart. I want to see your heart. David, God took David. Why? David had a heart for God. Over, if I can, to Psalm. And Psalm 27. And in Psalm 27, you're going to recall, here's David. In Psalm 27. And I'm going to pick it up if I can in verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God, what do you want? And that's what I want, what you want. God said, 1 Samuel 13, what did you say? I found a man that came up. Remember, we used the illustration, the elevator, all the time. And you take the elevator, God's up in heaven and up in heaven, and we're down on earth. And David wasn't looking for God to come down. He was looking for David. David, what did you do? I took the elevator up to on the same level with God. I sought God with all my heart. So when the elevator door opened, there was God. David sought him with all of his heart. That's the difference. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, you'll remember, as we did all this in a little more detail, Psalm 23, I'll read verse 4 and then 5 for context, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And that's what we looked at last time. My cup runneth over. And remember the word cup is the little word to think of the word, think of receiving, gathering together, going to bring things together. And what am I going to do? I'm going to put them in a cup. I'm going to bring things together and put them in a cup. So about your life, David's life, he's going to bring all that is to be connected to David in his life. And he puts it in the cup, that cup. And my cup runneth over. So it's to receive, to bring things together. Thus in the process. And what is about this cup? It's overflowing. It's overflowing. To be in the place, to become satiated, soaking wet, drenched. You're out in the rain, very heavy rain, and you're literally drenched. Soaking wet is the word. Overflowing, watering, water, overflowing, drenched. To stream over, as it were, to enjoy something richly, richly in the place. A garden, the garden is well watered, drenched. The heart is drenched, satiated. Therefore, having said that, keeping that in mind, David, what are you saying? I want you to know, he said, as my anointed my head with oil, that my cup is running over. It's overflowing. That's what it's doing. God's bringing everything together. And as it, back to your cup again, God's bringing everything together, and it's a full cup. God, what God is doing, here's David, and here's his little life, and God is doing something. Here's God. God's up, looking down at David, and David, here's all the things in little David's life, and God's looking down, and what God is doing and what he has in mind, it's in the cup. It's more than the cup. It's overflowing. It's overflowing. Why? David, this is David's earthly life, your earthly life, my earthly life, my weekly, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's our general living. There it is. But there's David. But God, the cup is overflowing. My little eye don't see it. But God is putting in and around it, and because of it, God's going and doing his awesome thing. David doesn't see that. David's trying to survive, but God sees it. You got the idea? Now, having said that, pick up where one of the spots we were, a psalm, where you're in Psalms and David, Psalm 16. And you remember in Psalm 16, going directly, verse 5, the Lord is the portion, what belongs to a person. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, all that I have. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And my cup, there's your little word, cup, the content, all that belongs to the, in the cup, all that belongs in the cup. My cup, thou, what are you doing, God? You're maintaining it. It's a participle. You're continuing to what? To maintain, to support, to help, to help to hold together. You're going to go what? My lot, the thing assigned to my life, that which is allotted to me, that which you have in mind, that you are keeping. So back to, again, the cup, I should keep it up there. All that David, his, all the personal life of David. And God has a wonderful plan, wonderful in all that he's doing. And David says, listen, I'm living my little life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But, and God maintaineth my lot. He's going to what? He has, my cup's overflowing. God, I only have what my little cup is holding, but it's overflowing. God has a wonderful plan and purpose, and that's what God's doing. All the while, all I see is out my window, coming and going. I don't see anything else. I go to work, I go to school, I go to do the dishes, I do whatever I do. Wow. Now, in the process, having said that, my cup overfloweth. So here's David, and we shared together last time to remind ourselves that our Lord, a perfect example of the whole business. Our Lord is perfect man, and perfect man trusts God in a perfect way. And doing so, when our Lord did that, our Lord, back here's a, I'll do it again. I'll do a different cup because our Lord, he has God's will for his life. David had God's will for his life. David, the son of David, the son of God. Now, what are you doing? God has a wonderful plan. Perfect man, perfect God, perfect relationship. It involved what? He was born in Bethlehem of Judea to go to the cross. That's what he's doing, to fulfill the will of God. That was in his cup, born in Bethlehem of Judea, a little place, nobody, out of the way place. He was crucified, sought to kill him in his public ministry, at least, all those 3 1/3 years, sought to kill him, and finally did kill him. That was his lot. God had an awesome plan for our Lord. But in that awesome, overflowing plan, it involved going to the cross. He had to go to the cross. Now, when we shared together in Matthew chapter 26, we shared together in the Garden of Gethsemane 3 times. God, if this cup can pass, I don't want to have to drink the cup, the sin of the world, my sin, your sin. I have to drink. God said, I have to drink it. I have to bear the punishment, the penalty, the pain. I have to bear it. I don't want it. But if this cup is your will, then thy will be done. Got it? I'll do it. So what he's doing. But in the meantime, God is a, you know, from John 13 and all of that, God said he's going to go to the cross. He's going to the cross. He's going to glorify God. God is going to be glorified in a most wonderful, wonderful way on Calvary's cross. God, going to the cross, he's going to make the overflow. And our Lord, risen again, seated at the right hand of God, having all the glory that he had to be before he ever started, and more so after the cross, is there. The wonderful overflow that you couldn't see during 3 1/3 years. But there it is, and here it is now in God's holy, happy heaven. In his presence. Wow. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, God's going to do a most wonderful thing. And thou, O Lord, is the perfect example. Perfect example. He was going to trust God. It was horrible. When did it get better? What year? What spot? In the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, not my will but thine, what were the three disciples doing? Sleeping. What was to happen when he went to the cross? They all forsook him. God, it hasn't come out good. No, it doesn't. You're on planet Earth. What do you want? As long as you live in the cesspool, you're going to be in the cesspool. Morning, noon, and night in the valley of the shadow of death. You're never out of it. It's all around you. It's in you. But that's the cup. The cup. And God has an overflow, a wonderful plan for the believing heart. David has a heart for God. David's blessed in struggling through being a king and doing all of that. But more than that, God has a wonderful plan, and it has to happen. It has to be outworked. The overflow. The overflow has to happen. It can't be. You can't just have the cup. The overflow. Now, hang on. In the process, if I can, sliding over faith in the light of that cup, and in God's wonderful, wonderful caring and working. Now, you know, over, if I can, well, we'll do it fast, over to Proverbs. Keep putting all these things together in Proverbs and in chapter 16. Proverbs 16, if I can get there, and the process. And you recall we mentioned, this isn't the same word that you had. This is a different word, but the cup, the lot, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, the cup, my cup overfloweth. My cup is full of my little old life on earth. And I'm looking for God to outwork that, but it's overflowing. God, what's going to be out of it and from it, the cup can't hold it. So therefore, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing, the judgment of it, thereof belongs to God. God, you're going to outwork this. That's what I'm going to do. David, what are you saying? Well, there. Anoint is my head, but make it fat. My cup is running over. My cup is running over. You need to understand that. You need to understand. It isn't. It isn't because you have, my cup's overflowing. I don't see it overflowing. I don't see anything. It must not be there. I'll read it. No, I need to see it. I need to see how it works. Or I'm sort of stupid. I'm spiritually stupid. I don't want to be spiritually stupid. I want to understand. I want to be able to see, put it together. Now, hang on, in the light of that, in God's wonderful, wonderful working. This is how the Lord is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof belongs to God. Now, so, and you know what is from that. The Lord is cast into the lap, etc. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What do you know God is doing? I could tell you, turn your Bible again. Ephesians, you know it. I could say it and you know it a little bit. Maybe I know it a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2. So you see the overflow. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that before we were ever born or created, that before that we should walk, live, walk, behave in them. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan. That's why he allowed us to be born on planet Earth, to have that plan. And when the heart comes to God is there to find the heart and to fill the heart. Now, and you know from Philippians, right next door, Philippians chapter 2, all these things you know, just keep letting them till they just find a home in your head, find a home in your heart. Philippians in chapter 2, picking up in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my absence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Think of that. Now go back over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Being confident, bold, confident of this very thing. What is that? That he which hath begun a good work in you, all of the good things that God had in mind before you were ever created, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Back over to chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, at the end of the verse, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Verse 13. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's wonderful plan. Here's a plan. So you get saved. God saves us in the most wonderful way. God saves us. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, God in Christ brings into my little heart and into yours all of God's wonderful plan into my heart. It's overflowing. Now, I don't know it. How am I going to know it? I'm going to have to seek God with my heart. I have to understand, God, what are you doing? What am I looking for? What am I looking for, God, out my window, reading my book, listening to the news? I'm trying to figure out, God, what am I looking for? I don't see it. No. No, you don't. You don't. You have to look to God by way of his word to have understanding. So you see it. That's what we're doing. I'm trying to get an understanding of it now so I can enjoy it. Otherwise, I don't enjoy it. Just a whole lot of words. Not going to go anywhere. And anyway, now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, so God always, always has a full cup. I may not enjoy the full cup, but God is there. And as long as I look to God and be counting and abiding in his word and he abiding in me, I'm going to be able to look to God. And God, all these wonderful things, we're going to look at them. If we got a minute anyway, we're going to look at them. All of these things are true. They're out here overflowing about me, about you. God brought them into my heart when I received him as my Savior. God brought them. I didn't make them. You didn't make them. God made them. Wow. He brought them into my heart. Now, having said that, my cup is always full. And while you're in Philippians, slide over to chapter 3. And picking up, if I can, in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. But I follow after that, if that I may apprehend to lay hold of, that that for which also I am apprehended. God saved me for a wonderful purpose, and I want to be saved for that purpose. I want it fulfilled. Verse 13. Therefore, brethren, I count not myself to have, I'm not finished my course. I'm going a journey, walking through time in the valley of the shadow of death. God's with me. I'm not going to fear evil. My cup's running over. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. All the stuff I have to live with, day, they were here yesterday, today's a new day. I have to keep going. And in the process, all that is going to be, all that the lot is cast into my lap, and all that God has in mind is going to outwork itself in a most wonderful way. Now, are you getting that a little bit, I hope? Now, over to John and chapter 6. John and chapter 6. And in John chapter 6. Now, keeping in mind, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, John 1:12, if you've received him as your Savior, when did you get saved? That's a question. It may sound stupid to you, but it isn't. When did you get saved? The moment you believed, you got saved. True? Maybe most of you got that? When did you become a new creature in Christ? All things have passed away. Everything becomes new. When did that happen? When did that happen for you? The moment you get saved. So God is not going to look at your life on earth. God died on the cross to save you from every thought, word, and deed, from all of your life that you've piled up and you're piling it up right now. And Christ has condemned it and crucified it. And now just the statement you know 1,000 times, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God. Gotta do it. I became a new creature the moment I got saved. Most believers are waiting to go to heaven to be a new creature. And therefore, all that we're looking at is out the window. And why bother preaching it? Why even bother saying this? Won't mean anything. Won't mean anything at all. I remember once speaking at the IFCA conference out in Michigan or someplace. And in the process, I think I did Isaiah 43, if I remember right. And I tried to have that down so I could just help them grab hold of the purpose of God. And after I got through trying to say that as carefully as I could, probably didn't, a couple of the men came up after me because no one ever said anything. And they said, you're living at the wrong time in history. You brought something that we don't know and no one cares about. No one cares about such things. That was a long time ago. I just don't care. So what? So therefore, we got in a system all going downhill. Revelation 13, Revelation 3, Laodicea, all downhill. Downhill. Now, having said that, chapter 6, verse 35, what did you say to the believing believers? Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Never, never, never. Never. Adding that without turning there, John chapter 11. Do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? Verse 26. Do you believe you'll never die? Do you believe I am able? I see you in my life, in new creatures in Christ for us in the church age. See us new creatures in Christ, and we keep trying to live the old life without enjoying the new one. And therefore, God, what are you saying? Dear, don't you understand? There's no shortage of bread. There's no problem with thirst. There's no problem with dying. Your cup overflows. Your cup is overflowing. Don't you know that? But all I see is my little cup. You're forgetting Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're forgetting it. And you leave it out as if it's something I'm going to get in heaven someday. When all of a sudden I need to wake up, God did it the moment I received him as my Savior. And somehow people, believers, have to be admonished and encouraged to see it and to enjoy it. Ephesians 2:10. Don't turn there. I have a wonderful plan for your life. Philippians, I want you to outwork that plan. I want you to live this life understanding this one. That's what I want you to do. So everything's the same. It does. The only trouble, what's the difference? I need to see from God's point of view that all that I'm going to look at and reminding myself of is real. True. I need to see the overflow so that I can handle the fullness of my cup. It's never, God can never be less than he is. That's why it's always full. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. We're full in him. When can we be unfull? When does God become less in you? When is God less than God? Never, never. His plan is there, very personal, very personal. All the snowflakes that come down, all different. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, in the light of that, and over to John, while you're right here, over to John chapter 6 and verse 63. And you will note, and the Spirit that quickeneth makes alive, the Spirit of God makes alive, so that the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And David, all I want your heart, said, God said to David, I want your heart, and David said, you have it. You want my heart? You got it. You got my heart, God. Now you have to help me through it. You have to help me get there inch by inch and moment by moment. Chapter 10. And the words full of life. Chapter 10. And you will note in chapter 10, picking up verse 10, the shepherd, our Lord. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but to steal, for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, what for? That they might have life. Mm-hmm. And that they might have it more abundantly. And let's think of our study a little bit in 1 John chapter 1. Written, what? To understand the abundant life, which is what we're looking at. My cup overflow it. My cup is overflowing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. God provides and fills and fills to overflowing. It's a marvelous thing. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that, in light of time, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, picking up, please, in chapter 1, just reminding me and myself and you, chapter 1, verse 22, and God hath put all things under his, Christ's, feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, to the believing heart in the body of Christ. Verse 23, which church, which is his body? And as the head is full of God, so the body is full of God in Christ. Full, full. Now pick it up again, thought, if I can, over in Ephesians chapter 3. Mentioned it earlier. Ephesians chapter 3. And you'll note, if I can, verse 17, that Christ, may dwell in your heart by faith, in your heart, not in your head. That Christ may dwell in your heart. You receive him into your heart, to your head. Your whole being takes him in your heart. Ephesians, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, to lay hold of, be able to lay hold of with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. In other words, to understand God is love, and you and I are found in Christ, in the middle of God, left, right, up, down, back, front, we're found in the middle of God. That's what we are. That's what we're now. Found in the middle of God. Mm-hmm. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, the overflow. We don't see the overflow. We just see our little life, little cup, and what we have to drink out of and bear with on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's what we have to do. We don't see the overflow. That you might understand what God's looking for. I'm looking for you to understand. God said, the cup overflows. I have a wonderful plan for your life. I'm outworking the plan. You're on earth, that's right, in the same body that you started with, in the same culture, the same country, the same conditions. That's right. Everyone else is, but you're saved. You know the Lord. You're safely saved in Christ. And therefore, you need to understand the overflow. I'm doing what I'm doing, said God. I have a wonderful plan for your life. And by the way, I want the highest and best for your life. And the highest and best for your life is my personal desire for you to be like my son. To be able to enjoy being sons in the Son. That's my plan. And while you're here, in your hand, you're a son of man, humans, but you'll also enjoy being saved and belonging to God as his children, as his son in Christ Jesus.